Alright, Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18 to 20. He said it's a summary of what Jesus taught 40 days when he rose from the dead. Jesus, in John 14 that we looked at yesterday, we saw that in John 14 to 16, he told his disciples, he said, I have so many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I'll be with the Spirit of truth shall come and shall put you through all things. Now, you shall include everything to your remembrance. And when he rose from the dead, he now began to teach them. 40 days. And I always say something that if, as a church today, we say we want to teach 40 days. I know how many people come for us. You know, how many people say, don't you know that people have more? I thank you for the day. I didn't know that. I thought, I'm like that. But Jesus spoke for 40 days. Amen.
Amen.
Talk about 40 days. But look at this. Look at this. And I've already made up my mind. But whatever. Amen. You like what I trained you on Twitter? That's fine. I got a Twitter account. You can't even tag me. You don't have, I don't have LinkedIn. I don't have which one again. Facebook is non-existent. So, I wish you well. Alright, so it says, we said this is summative writing of the things Jesus taught 40 days. And if you look at the other accounts, you discover that they all said different things, even though you don't boil down to the same thing. How do we know it's the same teaching? Because in all of those accounts, they all mentioned that he asked them to go and preach. In Luke 24, he told them that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in my name. Luke 24, verse 44 to 48. He told them to go to Judea to Jerusalem. In Acts 1, he said the same thing. Verse 8, you'll be witnesses of these things. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Acts 1, 8. Then you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said, you go into all the world. That's all nations, right? Right? Mark 16, 15, and preach to those who are spiritual. We shall have believers and be baptized and saved. We shall have believers, nor is time. This is chapter 1, verse 17. Those who believe, Mark 16, 17. In my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with him for us. And if you drink any devil, they shall not hurt them. These are maybe to seek and maybe seek shall recover. So we see that it's the same account, they all just put it in different ways. So it's summative. Say summative. The summary. That said, there's no way we could know if it was summative if we did not read it together. And that's how the Bible wants to be studied. And I've said this, I've been saying this for about 7-8 years. That when you are studying the Bible, you read together. Especially when it has a corroboration. That means someone else said something like this. For example, you see in the epistles, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You know what you will do as a good Bible student? You will go to that as it is written. Because you will never understand fully what he's saying without looking at both ends. And so the way to understand properly would be to read everything together. So how is Bible study? You read it. Say it again. You read it.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 24. And I'll show you why you read it together. I always say something. I said that the epistles, or what we call the New Testament, they have their background here. Yeah? So what you call Romans and Ephesians and Galatians, they are actually Genesis to Malachi. Just well explained. And we done studies in this church over the years to teach that. We have the teaching on Galatians. You're not done. It's about 50 hours of teaching. And we discover that in Galatians, we can go back to Genesis. Can't bring back Leviticus, Leviticus. Because there's no way you are reading Galatians without reading Genesis. What are you reading exactly? And so what you call Matthew 28 that we're studying now is actually the Old Testament. They are explaining what was already written. So look at 7:24. And by putting it together, what does that give you? It gives you also information. We'll see that this morning, that the Bible was written in such a way that it's progressive. It's progressive. So you are an Adam. And then in 1 Corinthians, you will now have a last Adam. You know what you don't understand? You will not understand the last Adam if you understand the Adam. So imagine just reading Adam select, and God took the bone from his side. And he woke up and he said, "This is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. Look at that one tomorrow. I will not disappoint you." And even if you have listened to me before, you know, you don't want, you still want to listen to what I'm about to say. And he said, "The bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she's taken out of man." And that's later. Then God comes to him and says, there is the second Adam. So that is Adam itself is a theology, is a teaching. Then you say there's the last Adam. Then you want what's the difference between the second Adam and the last Adam and the first Adam? But you can only understand that when you read it together. But fortunately, well, things are changing, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I was going to say that we in this age and generation, you know, have Christians who want to study. That is teaching, you're already shifting your bomb. That's how everything is going to end. That is teaching. That means you cannot come around for our party. We used to have a party in December. It's just a very small party where we meet and greet. Don't you think that means? If I don't know what I meet and greet, they become adverts. Meet and greet. Because we tend to teach every December, we teach 12 hours about that. We have 12 hours straight up. So you sleep awake and the teacher is still going. Then you sleep again. Then they give you cover clothes. But that you can just. Now let's go to Hebrews. Alright, 7:24. So I want to show you what it means when you are corroborating account. And when you're reading together, don't forget this is our Bible study now. Yesterday we didn't teach. We only practice the things of the Spirit. That was inspirational. This one is doctrinal. Alright, 7:24, verse 1. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, "Go and number Israel and Judah." The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, "Go and number Israel." Interesting. Now, hold that place and go to Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Just don't leave that place. 1 Chronicles 21. The church is about to study. Amen. Now, read 1 Corinthians 21, verse 1. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to come back. The problem was that the anger of the Lord provoked David. The same attack. Then Chronicles says, Satan was the one that stood up against David, against Israel, and provoked David. So, which one do we go? If that wasn't the anger of the Lord, provoked David. This one says Satan provoked David. And a lot of people have used that to explain the anger of the Lord. That even God can provoke you to do things that he doesn't want you to do. How convenient is that for you? Now, let me show you something that. The books of Samuel were written 550 to 560 BC. The books of Samuel and Kings. They were written 550 to 560 BC during the Babylonian exile. While you have the Chronicles written 450 to 440 BC. You know, BC always counts. Yeah. 450 to 440. So, Chronicles is relatively more recent. You know what Paul Ruby said, 450 BC, but it's fine. But Chronicles is relatively more recent. And that shows you something that in the Bible, outside Genesis, let me show you something. Take away Genesis to Deuteronomy. Put them aside. Why do I say put them aside? Because that is the beginning. There's no progressive to it. There's no regression to it. It is what it is. You get that? Moses wrote, nobody has written anything before. He wrote those five books. You cannot progress on it. You cannot go back on it. They are statutes. But you see, from Joshua and all those books, the revelation is progressive. What am I telling you? Isaiah would know more than Joshua. Even though Moses would know more than Isaiah. I remember I was teaching somewhere. Oh, yeah, it was Ibadan. About 2 years ago, I told them. I said, I was teaching with a group of pastors. And I told them, I said, the epistles are the explanation of the Old Testament. So when was I going to say, what about the reason of Israel? Sir, is Hebrews part of the epistles? That Hebrews is so complicated that you can take the Israel completely. I said, well, maybe. Alright, well, it's not that complicated. So as we read, it becomes clear. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. That's why you see Samuel saying things like, an evil spirit from the Lord came and in trouble sought. But if you now read progressively, you discover nobody said an evil spirit came from the Lord in Isaiah. Jeremiah never said it, he would not have it. Ezekiel never mentioned an evil spirit from the Lord. What he said the Lord would give is a new spirit. So it becomes clearer as we journey. And Peter explained that to us. In 2 Peter 1, verse 19. So this morning you see that the church does not need theology school if we do our due diligence in studying the Bible well. Bible schools are an afterthought. They are because we spend more time dancing and giving testimonies. If we reduce the time we spend dancing and singing and giving testimonies, we know about the schools. We are good students of God's word. Come on, say the Lord is good. I'm up for that. I like it. I dance with them. Come on, say the Lord is good. There is nothing he cannot do. We have seen it. The youth that just sang, come and say the Lord is good. Some of us say, we cannot ask about what God is doing. He kills and he makes our life. But he just said, come and see that the Lord is good. Which one should I believe? But because you are not well taught, your theology is shaken. Like Ephesians 4, thoughts go and flow. Today the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. But the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Tomorrow. He's a other one. I did not become back. That's a very old statement. I did not become back. Worship my member. I don't have anything against anybody's song. Amen. Amen. Yeah. But if you know the origin of this, you will know that it's not in the Bible. Start to start with. This is so African. It is used in the Odyssey Power of Hot Guys. And when you read to them, they will show you the response. You know, the response will be your spirit. When you do this to an infant person, you want to use your money. Like when you say, well, those are not your songs. They are African songs that were, you understand, important. But then we talk about that one. Step up that one. So we're looking at that progressive revelation that is in the Bible. What you call the proper. You know what that means? The one that the boy can wake one up, one has to go. What kind of God is that? That is to make someone alive, that's a key one. That is not eulogy, that is not a praise. That is slander.
that defamation of character
under the Bible, something like that.
All right, tell me the word. That's everything. Let's talk about 16. This is Peter talking to you. He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made those give the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. So he said, we are not forming these stories. What you are hearing us say about Christ, we are not forming it. We are eyewitnesses. He says, for verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice came from heaven. We heard when we are with him in the holy mount. Can we read verse 19 together? We have also a more sure word of prophecy. As unto the light that shines in the darkness, until the day dawn, and the days are arriving. See, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That word is, even though we saw it, we have a more sure word from the prophets. That is, we did not bring out all these stories because we were there with him in that moment. That makes sense. We are not writing all these books because we ate with Jesus. He said, no, we have a more sure word of the prophets. That is, when you look at the prophets and what they have said, you will see that we have every right to write about Christ. Then he says, if you look at the word prophet, it's like a light that shines. It's like a light that shines. That word shines, the word phaino. P-H-A-I-N-O. P-H-A-I-N-O. Like a light that shines. It means to lighten, to gradually lighten up. As unto a light that shines. How many of you have watched the day lighten up before? And believe every member of Grace House would have seen that before. Whether in prayer, the prayer rally, that's if you are not sleeping. Some people, when they come up prayer with you, they just go into that. By the time they open their eyes, the day starts arising in our hearts. But I don't think that can happen. Yourself just not allow that happen. So, you know, so you will see that in the night, everywhere is dark. But you don't suddenly just see the sun. You don't suddenly see the sun, there's a problem. Things must gradually lighten up. Right? That is the word he used for final. He says, the words of the prophet is like a light that shines. Till the day dawn. Till the day dawn. And the day star arises in our hearts. The word day star, phosphorus, used just one time in the entire New Testament Greek. That's Christ, the morning star. So he says, the words of the prophet, it will keep shining. I don't know. We look at this in the dialect of the prophet, right? Right? Maybe series 2, 3, I can't remember. If the words of the prophet, it will gradually shine. As you are reading, you start seeing that, okay, now I understand. By the time you get to Psalms, okay, I get it now. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? By the time you now start getting to John the Baptist, still a prophet. So by the time you start reading the words of John, you say, so this is what Moses was saying. Like the day dawn, it shines in our hearts. So it shines till the day star without arising. That's Christ. So the word of the prophet will keep lightening up. It will keep getting better till Christ is formed in our hearts. So what would I tell you? That Chronicles is right over Samuel. Satan provoked Israel. Not the anger of the Lord. Why would he write the account again to correct what I'm reading? He would have just left it. But he's going to write it again so that you don't miss out. Because it has to be a final. That makes sense? It has to progressively shine. Alright, back to Matthew 28. So, but look at those 2 Samuel and the 1 Corinthians 21, 2 Samuel 24. But how did we know that it was now saying that? because we actually knew that there were two accounts. Imagine if I did not read it together. I would have a notion in my heart that says that the anger of the Lord can provoke someone. But no, if I just took time to read every account that says the same thing together, I would realize that it was not the Lord, it was Satan. And the evil spirit was not from the Lord that provoked the soul, whatever his name is. Amen. So the body of Christ is built on teaching. The woman cannot appreciate God's word enough to teach it. They will not fulfill God's will in our lives. We must be able to appreciate God's word enough to teach it. So it is corroborated. Matthew 28, 18, Luke 24, 44 to 48, Mark 16, 14 to 20, Mark 28, 18 to 20, Acts 1, 6 to 8, or 3 to 8, they are corroborated and submitted. So go back to Matthew 28, that's where we are now. That's our text, right? Is that our text? Alright. So it says, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, the word teach there means what? To make disciples. Right? Matthew, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. So the work of discipleship is too important in the Christian faith. It's how God gets things done. The work of discipleship is not you get someone a job and the person that comes to your church. That was not discipleship. Anybody can do that for you. Amen. Discipleship is not as I give you money. If I promise you 20,000 every Sunday service you attend, I'm pretty sure you don't miss a single service. Yes or yes? Come on, answer my question. Yes or yes? Okay, yes or no? So I said, no, I'm following the word. I don't do that. I have it. What about you? Every Sunday I'm going to give you 50K. You know that if I just sit down and I write Matthew 28, a lot. Within a lot, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Bam, CR. CR is such a good shortage. CR. That's it. It's good. God bless the reading of his word. Even as I am blessed. But that's not discipleship. Discipleship is by the word. Go and teach all nations. Then he calls and he tells you, I'm going to be teaching them the things I have taught you. So discipleship is not by random draws. It's not by promising people scholarships. It's not by promising people jobs. It's not by promising people, what else? A career. House. You need a house. That's what discipleship. Discipleship is by accurate teaching. Jesus made his disciples by teaching them. He didn't just go to their house and start performing miracles. It's not by miracles. It's by teaching. So it says, go and make disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe the things I've commanded them. When the apostles were going to have disciples, what did they do? They taught. Acts 2:42. They continued with the apostles' doctrine in teaching and in the breaking of bread. Acts 2:42. So that's how they made disciples. Acts 6:4. We will not leave the ministry of the word and of prayer to serve people. That's how they made disciples, by teaching, by the word and by prayer. So we must not be wiser than the Bible. Amen. If we are wiser, that is serpentine wisdom. You can't be wiser than the Bible. That's serpentine wisdom. Maybe we shall believe that. You know, will you be as wise as serpent and yet not to be raised in the hand? But if you say you want serpentine wisdom, you will not raise the hand. What the difference? English. I have no way of saying it. So he just said, I sent my sheep among wolves. Who has appetite with me? You have asked appetite with me. I began to have blues. That's, you can't be wise as a person as a Christian. Amen. That's not good. That's not good. Who wants appetite with me? I thought so. What that might have happened?
You should not disclose that answer.
Amen.
All right. I have a wisdom in God's word. Amen. All right. So you do discipleship the right way, the Jesus' way, the apostles' way. Put work into it. Don't use food. Don't use food to disciple people.
But you are taking the bad guy from chicken. That is your job. So we'll be in church tomorrow.
You bet. I know it's Jerry talking there. You bet I hear.
Don't use concerts. Don't use music. Music will not win a soul.
Oh, baby. Miriam.
No, Miriam. Wanna give Sam in the house with us? You like that for Miriam to come and give Sam the.
You can't do discipleship with music.
I love music. I don't know how to sing.
I don't know music that much.
I love music, you know. Well, you cannot hear that we organize a music concert so that we can attract crowds. And who's that attending church? That is certain times. It's not from the world. It's not from God's word.
Amen.
Don't use ambience.
Light. Play light.
Use the word.
Amen.
Don't allow the devil to subdue grass or hope. So he says, you go into the world and you make disciples. Make disciples of every nation. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe the things I've commanded you. He said, the word that is entered in mind. The things I have taught you. The word I commanded them. What did he teach them? He says, look, I am with you always. I am with you always. And we asked the question yesterday. We said, where is he? Is he in shoes? Is it our bags?
That one looks common.
Say, can I be my bag? It's Jesus, but it can be bread. His bag may be better than bread. I have no issue with the communion table. I have no issue with it. You serve me, I'll eat it. I was happy. But it's that devotion of you now kneel down and collect. I'm saying this so that you that have never preached the gospel. You are not a good believer. The exact opposite of what he says, you should not do anything. He said, do this, eat this, and remember me. And that is, remember my death for you. But you are not remembering this death when you are eating for so that you are glad to have peace. When you eat it on what you are going to be sick, that's not in the life. Sorry. This is the best reason. That's not in the life. At least I can't eat on what you eat. Not on what consumed on what you do. Not when you are done with your what you want. You will go to pastor's office. Carry all the bread, bring the corn. Leave the drink, drink it so sweet. And this Lord's blood, I like it. You are not drinking it, it's not come by God. They love, maybe that's why I'm preaching the gospel. They love God. They love, love God. We're dead at that. Like 5 years. Every time, love God. Like Friday. We had to go, God, you are not going to die. God, this is our teaching on first, love in our Christianity, right? Well, because when you meet unworthy, what does it mean to meet unworthy? That's not for today. But is he inside the bread? No. That's ridiculous. He's not even inside the Bible. I know I just moved it. So a demon is coming. I don't know where you see the demon. Because you do not see any demon. Unless, yes. That was not for today. I like this. I bind you. Then, oh God, thunder. And now, she was like, he had to call me. Then, yeah.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know what to ask. It's a book. is not spiritual. The information is. The book itself is not spiritual. And if you can read this book. Amen. In fact, I was on a book review. I was privileged to be able to review what a book for someone. I was part of the team that called to review the book guide. For better criticism, they actually invited an atheist to read the book and while sharing Bible. We get this. I was able to pick up this. That's his own job. I doubt an atheist, bro. You got to take your name. He's just taking that form. But I've seen an atheist read Bible before. Have you not seen it? I think there was one that we knew that time. I was like 2014. You know, I read Bible. Because he thought that's going to strike him dead when he touches it. Amen. Yeah. I always make sure someone sleep, but you know, there are people in power that will know that they are the demon that has worked with them. And they will still swear. Everybody that was ever president of Nigeria has sworn in the Bible. And not here. I swear that I will rule the people with diligence. I'm saying it. This one is not a matter of apparent. I'm saying it. They are already sharing money. Money is already going. Streams. Joint streams. I say, I swear on this holy book. Holy book, don't grab it. If you want to leave swear, take them somewhere else. God is merciful. Amen. So it's going to be like, you have to drop all those things to your heart. It's not in the bottle of water. So when it says, I am with you always, we need to ask the question, where? It's not in Canada. I just did not see that in the Bible. That way, I don't know the root of that one. That's the idol worship. So take red candles, yellow candles, blue candles, green candles. We're going to go. Did he just appear in your room? No! You bought, you want to buy Holy Spirit. Or to price. You know, I'm not likely for me to hear. Fuck it up. Is anybody here? I'm not here. No, your Holy Spirit is too expensive. That's what you just said. Jonathan, that's not true to pastor. It's when we now bring it to church. The power now can pass. You drop. Wait for like enter the church. So when the pastor prays, so why can't the pastor just pray? Without the bread? Or without the oil? Why do you need oil? Yes. Why can't I just pray for you and say, since it's when I pray in the oil that the power ends. Why can't I just pray? Because we have that African. They say the reason why it's a scripture of. So, the first person has put something so. But that's what it's meant to do. To straighten your doctrine. It's not there. It's not in any water. Be holy water or mommy water. It's not there. We saw where he said it would be. He said, at that day you will know that I will be where? In me. Amen is in me. He lives in me. I don't hear that. The only way someone can tell you that where I am, there you'll be also, is when he is in me. I showed you yesterday, right? You can't be in the same place where he's building one version there and he's. Ah. Where I am is where he is. Amen. Where I am is where he is. Where I am is where he is. He's in me. Amen. So Christ is in our hearts.
And that was Isaiah's prophecy.
His name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. His name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. So the question is, where was God before Jesus came? Where was he dwelling before Isaiah dwelling in our hearts? How deep did the Old Testament, Moses, Abraham, Enoch, Joshua, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Obadiah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, how did they relate with God? Where were they meeting him? Since he was not in them. Because if we say he is in us, we need to find out what was it like in the Old Testament. Are we ready for the Bible study? Are we ready? So let me give you a brief history of the Bible. I like this to simplify your knowledge of God's word. And listen, once you just understand that this one is clear. This one, God made man. Man messed up. Is it clear? Man started seeking a way to get back to God. Prophets started arising. Moses was one. Abraham was the first. We had the likes of Moses, they had the likes of Joshua, they had like Ezekiel, Isaiah, Nehemiah, all of them. Right? Then there was a deep chasm of times that was not recorded between Malachi and Jesus, and when Jesus was born. No documentation, no nothing. Then when Jesus came, he picked up writing. Right? And then we had Jesus, the Son of God, among men. Does that make sense? That's the Bible. And he died, rose again, gave the Spirit to every man who believes the gospel. He now lives in their hearts. Does that make sense? Guys, are the Bible simple? Is it simple? Is it not simple like that? God made man to fellowship, to worship, to be together with him. Man said, what is possible? That's what man said. All the inspiration in this one. Go your way. That's what he did. Then, because of Adam's pattern, he just did the pattern. Came to it and said, I like my father. He's my role model. He's my mentor. He too. Unbelievable. Man, say, God communicated with his prophet to redeem man back. He gave a promise. My son will redeem mankind. He will be for the son. Son will be God. That is, till Jesus came, died for us to fulfill the prophecy, rose from the dead, and now lives in our hearts. That's how it is. Now let's see the intricate of this of that story. In Genesis, this is God's plan. In Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, that is after God had made every other thing, land, firmament, the trees, the animals. That's when it says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Interesting that someone had asked the question before that. If God made man in his own image, then who is God in the dream? Because we have people who are fair, we have people who are dark. We have that. Very, very black, shining black, golden and black, yes. And that, I want, we, all of them was not being God's image. I'm pretty sure you know about that. Or maybe this. I don't think people love it. Amen. Team change. You know, anyone that's all that, so, that Bible is a lie. I think the man is in God's image. And some people are short. He's God short. Some people are tall. He's God tall. Some people are red hair. Some people are blonde. Some people are dark hair. Some people have blue eyes.
Some who have
would you prefer?
This is no contact. We get from our boy. All the people in English.
Shiny eyes. You know, who is the image of God?
Observe, he said, let us make man in our image.
And after our likeness, he gave your image and your likeness. Genesis 5. When you just read the doctrine together, when you can read someone's diction. Now, every writer has a book, has his own vocabulary, the way he writes, the way he perceives things. If everybody is going to write it, you look at the diary, you discover that there's a way to use particular words. There's a way to probably use particular words. There are words that I use often. And it's not peculiar to me, but it's peculiar to probably people who have the same background like me. You know, I can't really recall any now, but there are words that you just like, you use often. Give me an example of what I mean. You don't know. Who's that? Alright, look at Genesis 5. So you see the way Moses uses it. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years. This is for someone that said he would die when he eat it. When he eat the tree, he's still going at 30. And he got his own son. And he got his son in his own likeness. And after his image. And he called his name what? Set. So when you say image and likeness, that's used for your son. Doesn't mean that it looks like you. It means your son. Someone who has your blood running through him. So it's not a physical resemblance as much as it is a DNA kind of thing. Someone who has your attributes running in him is your image and likeness. Alright? So, go back to Genesis 28:26. God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. That's not Adam. Adam doesn't have God's DNA running. That's a prophecy about Christ, which is talking about the incarnation. When God now become man. That word make is something you do yourself. I think we started in one teaching spiritual growth. What, when, and where, right? How spiritual growth, how it happens. You know, let us make that one is let's do this. Let's do this. I want to do this. Let us make man in our own image. That's Jesus. Who's the image of God? Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Verse 3. Next up. And in diverse manner spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. At this last days spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of what? That Jesus. Said his son is the express image of his person. So Jesus is the image of God. Colossians 1. So Jesus is the image of God. Yeah. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us unto the kingdom of his dear son. In his son, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is what? Of the invisible God. That's not Adam. That is Christ. So I say, let us make man in our image. That is the incarnation. God is not going to become man in his son. That makes sense? Let us make man after our likeness. Well, in verse 27, Genesis 1 now. That's how to read the Bible. Now, can you say how to study now? You go to Genesis, go to Colossians, go to Hebrews, go back to Genesis. Because it's a single book. 66 books nevertheless, but written for a single purpose. The only way to understand it is when you look at the day dawn. That makes sense? As the light that shines. Can you start? The light of Genesis that we just saw as the image of God is now shining. It was getting brighter as at Genesis 5. Where we now read that, okay, your image and likeness is your son. Then by that we get to Colossians. That's gotten well. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And that was Hebrews. He spoke to his, who is the express image. That makes sense. So it shines brighter. No worry, no revelation. Just put this on. But it shines brighter till Judea. Amen. So, back to Genesis 1. That's for itself now. So God created man in his own image. God created man in his own image. That is Christ. That is the incarnation. That is Emmanuel. In the image of God created him. Then Moses saw there something. The male and female created him. But guess what? There was no him. There was no Eve yet. And he said, male and female created them. So this shows you that this is beyond Adam and Eve's account. Moses is writing by the Spirit something that will happen. And he's saying, you know what? God is going to create, he's going to become man himself. And that man, in that new creation, we are going to have male and female. Let me continue with this. In a new story. Does it make sense? Come on, is it making sense? So, the plan of God, men and female, created evil in him, of course. The plan of God from the beginning was to fellowship with man. He's going to send his son in the likeness of man. We sang that song yesterday, God in man. He's going to send his son in the likeness of man to fellowship and dwell with man. You know, also in that Genesis account, we discover that God keeps coming to man to fellowship. Right? Who is from the presence of God? Did God run away when man sinned? Or man ran away when man sinned? So that means, well, that means that you say God will run away when someone sinned. That's the lie. He knew what he had done against sin came around. God is not the one running. Sin is the one hiding men from his presence. So God's plan from the beginning was to always fellowship with man, to dwell with man, to stay with man, to have communion, to talk. He spoke to man. Man replied. No need for anything. No need for any medium. No oil. No bottle. No nothing. He just spoke to man and man replied. Interesting. Just spoke to man. But that picture did not last long. Adam chose rebellion. Genesis 3. So, in Genesis 2, God told man, of every tree in the garden, you can freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day you eat of it, you will die. And man said, I get it. Thank you. And he still went still ahead to eat it. So that he's not the one that is his wife. He's the one. Amen. Because you always remember that he is in that. It's not like there was someone else. Whoever you call him. Is in that. A different part of him, nevertheless. But it's in that. And that's why that account has nothing to teach you about marriage. You can't teach marriage from either money. You didn't have a choice. You're talking about 7 billion people in the world, and you're teaching either money as marriage. Whatever Adam sees, that one was going to call a woman. That's not your own case, right? You are seeing different of. Amen. Now, one of my friends, when he got married, you know the wives, 7 billion. somebody are choosing me. And this is that. I know her. I mean, street. She said, why? You are expecting a woman to be back. Oh, thank you. Say what? That's 7 billion. So you saw 7 billion. Say no, I know 7 billion. I'm just saying that it's poetic. Say, even if you're poetic, you have eyes to see other issues in the sea. Amen. I'm like that. But then that does not see any fish in the sea. He is the only one. Because Moses did not intend Adam and Eve's story for marriage. We see that much more later tomorrow morning. There is nothing in that story that teaches marriage. Not one single thing. From how to deal with your spouse to how to get married, there is nothing. So stop looking at that place. That's not looking at that place. Okay? So, Adam is obeyed. Verse 3, verse 7. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together, and made themselves apron. And when they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And that is where the separation began. Before now, Adam sees God at all. He says, ah, God, Abba, what's happening? Lord, you are staying with me. You stay with me. And suddenly, Adam hid himself. So there's a separation now. And he was taken away from the Eden. And that continues for every believer throughout the age. Then let's pass over to Exodus. We now have Israel. Moses led them out of Egypt. Led them out by a mighty hand. I used to fancy that Moses story a lot. Because I used to wonder, why did Pharaoh not just kill him? He went to someone's palace. How many times? About 9 times. With different miracles of the obvious skin every time. No, instead of just bargaining with miracles and everything, the moment you take away one plague, fire. But just like Jesus, it was not his hour. Amen. It was not time. We don't have to pick Moses then. It's not even come to his head. So Moses led him out of Egypt. And now God is still calling for man. Just like that beginning. When Adam sinned, and God was still looking for man. God is still calling for man. I say, where are you? I heard your voice in the garden. I was naked. I thought you were not naked again. You have sown fig trees. And I keep myself. So Adam hid himself from the voice of the Lord. But God kept calling out. Say, God kept calling out. The while we were also in sin, Jesus came. And he kept calling your name. He didn't say, Jimmy didn't realize that there was sin. I wait. I just need one person. One person to tell me that. Father, you are sorry. None of the disciples said it. Nobody in your life will escape. Amen. So God is calling out for fellowship, for union. God is now talking to Moses. Next verse 25. Verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that gives willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. This is the offering you shall take of them. Gold, silver, brass, blue and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin, and dyed bread. Moses had some specifications. And badger skins, and sheeting wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and sweet incense, onyx stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And we must eat together. And let them make me a sanctuary that we dwell among them. So, God is calling out here. Let them make me a sanctuary. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And so they made sanctuary. Moses told them how they were going to do it. The eye, the breath, everything. But he first made an ark of covenant. The mercy seat, the table, the ark of testimony, they did all of that. So they made the sanctuary. But because they were in the wilderness, this is very well, they could not make it permanent. Israel was moving from one place to the other. So they had to make a mobile one. A tabernacle that they can clean. That's that. Like that, they are moving from Akure to Lagos. They carry tabernacle with them. What a nation. They were just walking around. So they had a tabernacle that they could carry. A sanctuary. But that did not last long. So David woke up one day and said, I have money. I have stayed in this beautiful palace where I met Bathsheba. So my dad. I've stayed in this beautiful place and God is, you are moving God around. Why not let's build a permanent one? Now we are not sojourning. Right? We are now a nation. Let's build a permanent one. Where God will stay. We call that a temple. Then God told Moses, David. Sorry, don't do it. Don't do it. Your son will do it. Trust me. Your son will do it. Okay? That's Genesis. The image of life. Alright, your son will do it. So, Solomon built the temple in 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. Solomon built the temple. And he called it the house of prayer. You are 1 Kings 6. So, what's the difference between tabernacle and the temple now? Tabernacle is movable, it's mobile, right? So they kept moving from place to place. But when you come to the temple, it's just one place. And who built that? The first one at least. But that was destroyed. And Solomon, verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11, 1 Kings. And one of God came to Solomon saying, concerning this house, which thou hast in building, if you walk in my statutes and execute my judgment, and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with you, which I spoke to David your father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will not forsake my people, Israel. So Solomon built the ark, and he finished it. So, what was the essence of the temple? For God to dwell among his people. So let's get that clear. The essence of the temple is for God to dwell among his people. This is Bible study. You need to understand that. The reason for the temple is so that God can stay among his people. Just like that Genesis. So through this temple, God dwelt among his people. He manifested his love towards Israel. But fortunately, the temple was destroyed during Jeremiah chapter 52. Jeremiah 52. Carry verse 12 to 13 together. What's good? I love you. How are you? Jeremiah 52. So, where are we now? Let's survive what we are saying. God called out to Adam after Adam sinned. Who ran away? And God rescued Israel and told him that I want to fellowship with you. Right? What should you do? Give me something. And that thing will be where my presence will be among you. So whenever they wanted God, they just go carry the ark of covenant. Right? you know, they carry to war. That nation is very dubious. At least we lose this war. God, they are here to come. We are losing together. We lose and lose. If they carry that war, then they will win. Because to them, it is the presence of God. Then David said, what are we carrying God about? As though God was inside. Then let's be the people. Let's put some. Then God told you, he said, be this, so that I can dwell among my people. Amen. So we said, the entrance of the temple is what? God and man in one place. But chapter 2, Jeremiah 52, verse 12 to 13. Are we ready? What remember? Now in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, of the Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon and Jerusalem. What did he do? And all the house of great men, born him. He burned the house of the Lord. So that magnificent temple that Solomon built, which was recorded that it was so beautiful. In fact, those who still travel to Jerusalem, they still see the real. They didn't believe in them. Because they want to just cherish the first temple. So, the place that is used for God to dwell has been burnt. So, where is God now? So, years went by. They went back to their app and their tents. Then, remember the story of Nehemiah? He now rose up and said, no, we are going to rebuild the temple. So, Ezra joined him. And that's where Lucas said, with his mouth, it was Zerubbabel. That was when they were building the temple again. And nothing has started that way. Not the government, not the king. And there's a political story around that. I will teach you much more, maybe can't put you. There's a political story around the building of the temple. The government wanted to liaise with them. He said no. So many years later, Ezra and Nehemiah, they came back, they returned to rebuild the temple. But that one later too, God destroyed. Then Jesus came. Amen.
Amen.
Say Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Then Jesus came. After all the storms, from ark to tent to temple to destruction to rebuilding, then Jesus came. And he put a head to that tragic story. John 1. He led us up. John chapter 1 then. Verse 4. So we have investigated the reason for the temple. God among his people. In fact, the reason why Moses built the temple is to say to Israel, whenever you enter this place, you are God among us. Because Israel wanted Moses to go and talk to God. You with me? In Exodus 20, they said, Moses, you know what? Moses said, we all hear God. He's our God, Jehovah. He has saved us. They said, Moses, we tell you the truth. You don't hear God. Last time that I saw you hear God, if I was right, if I was right, I saw smoke. What is that? No, that was just the power of his presence. Yeah, he saved you as he is over me. What is that? I replied, he told us that the air was shaking when you were talking to him, that is that one. He said, yes, yes, that's the standing presence. That would be a long answer. There was a time he came down for one more day, I was shining. I'm not saying anything happened to you. Your face was shining, you have to cover your face for like 30 days. He said, yes, the glory of that glory of God.
you go and be having it. You go and talk to God. When you come back, do this at him.
When you come back, let's
God said, thou shalt worship me alone. We write it down. Don't worry. But all of us now have to cover our face. Like a layer.
That's not my watch. So Moses said, okay, fine. You don't want to talk to God. You don't want to go to the mountain. You don't want to have any spectacular experience. Fine. Now you're there in the beauty. There it is. You see the beauty. When you go inside, you are the God I want to use. That is the thing. When you go inside, you are the God I want to use. There's no distance. When Jesus came around, after those dramas, John now begins to write to us. Don't forget, he's getting clear. I mean, he's shining out. All right. So John looks back and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. When he said beginning, that's Genesis. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness could not overwhelm or comprehend him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness, of the light, that all men through him have believed. He was not the light. He was sent to bear witness of the light. That he is the true light, which lights every man that comes to the world. That's Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, or who was born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Can we verse 14 together? And he beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Wait, it says, God now became flesh, because the Word was God. God now became flesh and dwelt among us. Without the temple, without the tabernacle, without any ark, without any tents, without any sanctuary, without any drama, without any earthquake, without any voice, God became flesh. That is Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. God became flesh, then dwelt among us. That word dwelt is the same word, is the Greek verb for that noun that Moses used as tabernacle. This is the Greek variation of it. For what Moses called tabernacle, that one that is moving about. I mean, in the same word that he said, the word became flesh and was moving about. In that tabernacle is with us. Amen. Amen. The Word became flesh. He now dwells with us. We behold his glory as the only begotten of the Father. So now we can see the Father and mankind in one place. We can see God and man in one place. In Christ. And that's why John now said, of his fullness, verse 16. And we all received grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses. For grace and truth came by Christ. What is he saying? Moses wrote about this thing I'm saying. I don't know if this is a prayer that as Moses gave the law, but Jesus brought grace. So that's what he's saying. In fact, he's praising Moses. What he's saying here is, whatever I'm writing is what Moses spoke about. The law was given by Moses to tell you that grace is coming by Christ. What is grace? The plan of God from Genesis. God and man in one place. God and man in one place. So the Word dwelt among us. That's the Baba equivalent of the noun that was used to describe that tent in Exodus 25, 8 to 9. So Jesus is literally Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. God with his people. No wonder when they told him about the temple of Solomon. You know what he told them? He said, I gave up the temple of Solomon for his glory. Said, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon's temple and more. He said, queen and more. Solomon's temple and more. He said, I am here. So the temple and all of this drama is here. God is now with us. Hallelujah. God is now with us. God is now with us. So, we now have Christ now. Walking in our midst. Achieving what the temple could not. Guess what? This new temple called Christ can heal the sick. This new temple called Christ can raise the dead. This new temple called Christ will now raise other temples. Look at John chapter 2. I thought this about me. John chapter 2, verse 1. Are you hearing something?
Yes,
come on. So far, I've got to you. All the temple drama is coming to an end. No buildings. No buildings. Just a man. I'll say God. God has now become man. And guess what? There was no thunder. He's not on every time that there is God. The God said, boom! Then he doesn't, I am Jehovah. He didn't have you to believe. He said, I believe. This God was walking among them. He was eating their food. He slept, he saw it. And then, what kind of temple is this? They thought that when God is talking, there will be lightning. But you know, Elijah already let us know. Remember, Elijah said, there was an earthquake, God was not there. What is he doing? The light is shining. He said, there was storm that God was not there. The light is shining. So for those that say, Elijah did not say anything, he said, yeah, let me see what he said now. If there was nothing that Elijah made us know, Elijah made us know that is this small voice. When you use voice, that's mad. He said, there was earthquake, there was fire, there was thunder. He said, God was not there. He said, where was it? The voice. Hallelujah. Where was it? In a voice. So, like a child. So, we are looking for that voice. Then Jesus came. Then Jesus came. Oh, this is the plan of God. In John chapter 2. So, we already know that it's the temple. But John chapter 2. And the third day was born, was the marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were called. Say they were called. Yeah. And I hear that very say they were called. Yeah. They did not jump. They were called there. But thank you, Pastor. I walk with the light of this world. After this session particularly, I have the wedding and kind of believe to attend. They were called. Say, and both Jesus and his disciples were called. Verse 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, what do I have to do with you? My hour is not yet come. His mother said to Simon, whatever he asked you to do it. Again, his hour is not the hour for miracles. We told that before. It's the hour of his death. We find that in John 17, verse 1. John 17, 1.
This was Jesus spoke, lifted up his eyes in heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your son that your son may glorify you. That is his hour. In John 12, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And what's he talking about? Verse 24. Except the corn of wheat will fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. So he's talking about the hour of his death. He that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. So when he says, my hour has not yet come, he said, the time to die has not come. And eventually, he turned their water to wine. Amen. But gave a message to them. Then verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and he continued there for many days. Can we read verse 13 to verse 19 together, everybody? And the Jews passed by the temple. And found in the temple. Okay, wait. So now there's a temple, a physical temple. A temple is about to enter temple. Right? We said the temple is God and man in one place. Is that Jesus? Huh? Is it God and man in one place? Is it God and man in one place? God and man in one place. So he entered them. And he found people buying and selling. Just like what was he doing today? What did he do? Verse 15. Let's go. When he had made so vocal, he drove them all out. The sheep, the oxen, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them, as one goes, take these things away. Take from my father's house the house of merchandise. That's Psalm 69, verse 9. It is written, the zeal of yours has eaten me up. I have verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign, since you have done all of this? Verse 19. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, which temple? That's the question. Destroy this temple. Is he talking about when you are fellowshipping? Not fellowship. When you are selling things. Or was he talking about his own birth? Come on. Sir? We know that from here, right? Verse 21. But he spoke about what? The temple of his birth. So, it is the temple. Then he's telling them, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will beat it up. 3 days. In his death, in his burial, and resurrection, he said, I will raise the temple. But what did he raise? In Matthew 16, are you enjoying our doing that? What did he raise? Matthew 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist. Those ones are stupid. Because they saw John the Baptist and they saw him. So why would they say it's John? Some said you are Elijah, others said Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And he said unto them, who do you see that I am? And Simon said to him, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you see that I am? You are Christ, the Son of the living God. That word living God is the God who is alive. That is the resurrection. You are Christ, the Son of the God who does not die. And Jesus said unto you, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah,
For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter. And upon this rock, the rock of the living God, the rock is the resurrection, that is Christ. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound on earth. Whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be lost on earth. What does that tell you? That when he rises from the dead, he will bring the church with him. And guess what? Heaven and earth will not be in the same place. Whatever you bind on earth will not be bound on earth. Because my use of them will not be losing them, there will be no distance like Genesis. There will be no distance. Heaven and earth in the same place. Amen. So when he rose from the dead, he did not just rise alone. He says, the gate of hell shall not be there. I know we sing that song. The church is marching on. The church is marching on. The gate of hell shall not be there. Did not prevail. Amen. Because the church came from heaven. We've been there. Amen. Amen. The church came from hell. Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will bring you there. Not this beauty. Not this beauty, not this one. I will bring you in heaven. The church of the living God. The church of the living God. He said, he spoke about the temple of his body. What is his body? Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Number 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Are you looking at your Bible or looking at me? What is the exceeding greatness of his power? To us world who believe, according to the working of his body power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead after 3 days, have you? And set him at his own right hand in heaven, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. What? Which is, wait, he gave him to be head over the church, which is. So when he says destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days, what is the body? Huh? What is the body? The church. So the church is now that temple. The church is now that temple. We'll see in the afternoon session how man tried to wriggle out his way to build another kind of temple. Amen. The church is his temple. Amen. So we now have Christ. Upon the resurrection, we are now his temple. Shall we step? Shall we step? I'm his temple. This temple can heal us. This temple can raise the dead. This temple can bless the Father. Amen. So he's now in us. Do you believe that? He's now in us. Yep. In Genesis, all they tried to achieve was God and man in one place. Now we have it in one place. He said, at that day, you may realize and worship. Amen.
is in me. Is in me. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. He's in me. He lives in me. Amen.
I don't say not to about that song, bro. He lives in me. Now, we have asked that one. Who is he using? But he lives in me. Amen.
Amen. So we have Christ now walking in us, walking among us. God in man, for man, with man, and too much man. Amen. He's in us. He's in us. This is Eden. That is the doctrine of Eden. Exactly.
Hallelujah. He made us that building. We don't have to go into one tabernacle. It's one sanctuary. He made us that building. And now we have eternal life. Because he dwells in us. The gate of hell did not prevail. Amen. Do you learn something? Shout to anybody in 3 minutes what you learned.